all your life for that touch of salvation. Thank you so much for that beautiful song and for all the songs in that. Had a ring to them, and I love it. Do something unusual from that. Sometimes the Lord wants something unusual. We're going to call a church in session right now just for a minute to have a vote. Brother Patrick Guerin is already put in for admission to go to Fruitland Baptist Bible Institute. And one of the applications requires the church to approve him. We've already approved him. We licensed him to preach. And promise we're going to pray for him. So do we have a move in second that we do that? This has to be a formal thing for him to be accepted at Fruitland. We have a move. We're going to be praying and supporting Brother Patrick Guerin. Move second. All in favor. Here's what I want you to do. And we just are voting. You just voted. That's good. And it's easy to raise your hand. It's easy to promise. Let's just do better than that. Let's just come to the altar right now. Pray for Patrick. And pray for all these among us that's sick, having tests, just surgery, and just going through heartaches. Let's just do that. Most important thing we could do this afternoon, pray. Better than anything else we could even think of. So let's just come, if you will, and pray. If you're not able to come to the altar, God will cure you where you are. But it would be important, I believe, just to pray. And remember, we will pray for Brother Patrick. We'll pray for all those others among our congregation and others. Ms. Estes went on to be with the Lord. Pray for that family. Just a lot to pray for. And we have a God that's able to hear and answer all our prayers and do exceedingly abundantly more than we can even ask or think. Let's go to him in prayer tonight, trusting him to meet these needs. Brother Drake, we'll ask you to come up here, please, to the microphone and lead us all in prayer as we pray and seek the Lord's face tonight for all the needs of our heart.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to the throne of mercy and grace tonight, dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord. Lord, with burdened hearts, dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord, and cares of this life, dear Lord. But God, you showed in your mercy and love towards us, dear Heavenly Father, that you would lead us and guide us, dear Heavenly Father, in the ways of life, dear Lord. Lord, you'd lead us down the paths of righteousness, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we could lay beside the still waters, dear Lord, in the green pastures, dear Heavenly Father. God, I pray tonight, dear Heavenly Father, you hear the voice of your people, dear Lord. Lord, as we unite into one voice, dear Lord, one mind and one accord, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, your word said, dear Lord, with two or three come together, dear Lord. Lord, you're in the midst, dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord. God, I'm thankful tonight, dear Lord, we serve a living God, dear Lord, you're able, dear God. Lord, you know the petitions of our hearts, dear Lord, before they ever ring out of our mouths, dear Lord, off of our tongues, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray for this young man, dear Heavenly Father, that's committed himself, dear Lord, into the ministry, dear Lord. Lord, I pray, God, you'll lead and guide him, dear Lord. Give him the unction to preach to Heavenly Father, dear Lord. Lord, not let him learn man's ways, dear Heavenly Father, but God, that he'd be a humble servant, dear Lord, that'll seek thy face, dear Lord, in every walk of his life, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray tonight, dear Lord, you'll touch the ones that are sick, dear Lord, the ones on deathbeds, dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord. Lord, it may be seeming dark, but God, we know, dear Lord, joy comes in the morning to Heavenly Father. Lord, your word says, God, weeping endureth for tonight, God, but you promised us, dear Lord, one day joy would be coming, dear Lord. We look for that second returning, dear Lord, of your Son Jesus Christ to Heavenly Father, which paid for our sins on Calvary to Heavenly Father, dear Lord, that by his blood, dear Heavenly Father, we're washed, cleansed, and made whole tonight, dear Heavenly God, that we can come to the bold room, to the throne room boldly tonight, dear Lord. Lord, praying in faith and seeking your face, dear Lord. Lord, you know the hearts, dear God. You know the desires, dear Lord. Lord, you know what we need better than what we know of, dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord. Lord, I pray for this church, dear God, all your churches around this nation, dear Lord. Lord, it seems, Lord, we're living in perilous times, but God, I pray, God, you won't let us give up, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, you make us like Jeremiah, dear Lord. Have that fire, dear Lord, that'll burn down deep inside, dear Heavenly Father, that we may testify of thy goodness and thy mercy, dear Lord, for what your Son did on Calvary's hill, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, as I'm undeserving as anyone here, Lord, but you gave your only begotten Son, dear God, that I may have freedom, Lord. I may be loosened from the bondage of of sin to Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray, God, if there's one lost amongst us to Heavenly Father, Lord, you send the power of the Holy Ghost to convict that heart, dear God. Lord, and show them that, Lord, that they're a sinner, God, that they're dying and going to a place called hell, to Heavenly Father. But you have the cure for humanity's ailment, dear Lord, which is in your Son, Jesus, to Heavenly Father. Oh, God, I pray tonight, dear Lord, you know the desires and the hearts, dear Lord. Lord, before we ever ask, God, and I just want to thank you and give you praise, dear Lord. Be with this nation, dear Lord. We've turned our back on you, dear Heavenly Father. But I pray, God, for the ones, dear Lord, you have left in the raiment, dear Heavenly Father. You give us boldness to stand in these days and times, dear Lord. Bless Brother Roy, dear Lord, and his family, dear Lord. I pray, God, you give him souls for his labor, dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord, and jewels in his crown, dear Heavenly Father, Lord. We give you all the thanks and praise. In Christ's name we do humbly pray. Thank you, dear Lord, for this opportunity. Thank you for this place we live in. Thank you for this church and these people, dear Lord. I'm so thankful tonight, dear Lord. I stand amazed at your goodness, dear Lord, that you just shine your face upon your people. We thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for coming. Thank you for praying. When you return to your seats and get situated, if you'll get your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of 1 John, chapter 5. 1 John, chapter 5. It would have been a pleasure, more than a pleasure, it would have been the thrill of our life to have got to see and do the things John did, even to be put on the Isle of Patmos, realizing that he was there to bring glory to God's name. There wasn't anybody there that we know of except him. Well, he still knew he could bring glory and honor to God's name. And as he wrote the books of 1st, 2nd John, 3rd John. What a wonderful, wonderful passage it is, and it's going to speak to us. We're going to look at 1st John chapter 5 just for a few minutes. Look at the first five verses. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's not maybe, that's not probably, this is truth. Whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him, with that condition. Stop and think about that, man. Everyone, no one is excluded. Everyone that believes, in your heart, of course. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. He is so forthcoming in here. A lot of people struggle with their salvation. This is one of the best scriptures, in my opinion, that he absolutely lets us understand and know for surety if we're born again. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus Son of God? He gives us so many wonderful illustrations here, and he talks about overcomers. He didn't say, if you're born of God, you may be able to overcome the world, the circumstances, but he says, everyone, exclusively, everyone that's born of God can overcome the world, all the trials, all the disappointments, all the things, the world. We live in the world. And the world's against us, Satan's against us, the flesh is against us, doesn't want us to serve God. But we are told that we are overcomers. Let's look at this absolutely in context and let him speak to your hearts and look at the characteristics of those that are born of God. These are so true in your life. It'll help us. It's like a test tonight, and he's given a test. If you study a course and if you're willing to do what someone told you to do, like born on the farm, you know, mom and dad, if they weren't going to be there that night, they'd write my brother and myself a note. Not that we didn't know what to do. They're just letting us know that they hadn't done it, need to be done. Milk the cows. Didn't have to go any farther than that. Knew how to do that. You may spend 5 minutes or 30 minutes trying to find them. All that was included. But you can't let that go undone. It must be done. And then, of course, all the other chores on the farm had to be done. This is telling us, this is what he's doing the speaking. And if I hadn't done what mom and dad told me to do, I'd been in big trouble. The cows have been in trouble. And so God expects us. Let's look at characteristics that he says we have. Not ought to have. Absolutely we have. Now, of course, on a scale of 1 to 10, you may be strong in that category, but even if you're weak tonight in each category, it will help you as we see what he tells us. Now, remember, we're overcomers. Overcomer is someone, first of all, that is committed to Christ. You're going to be an overcomer in this world. And we go back in the book of Acts, been studying, reading, praying, and preaching through the book of Acts here lately. And the disciples had these characteristics. They were absolutely committed to Christ. Remember, the religious crowd was not committed to Christ. They just put Jesus Christ to death. And the Roman soldiers and the other people that were living there were Gentiles. They wasn't committed to Christ, but they themselves must be committed to Christ. First characteristic, I believe, that we have to have. Because we're in the world, he already said, we're overcomers of the world. 3 times he used that word, those words. Look at verse 4 again. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even their faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is Son of God? Salvation. And once you have that salvation, then our commitment is to him. Our loyalty is to him. And then when we put him first in our life, that's the first characteristic. And if you do that, then we know that we have been born of God. The second one is the confidence. Remember, he says the commitment we have is we overcome the world, even their faith. So when you have that faith to believe, he gives you his faith. Of course, our faith is weak. Our faith wavers. But we're not operating on our faith. You can if you want to, but it won't last you very long. The first difficulty that comes in your life, sickness, sadness, sorrow, how people treat you, on and on and on, you won't be an overcomer. And he's already said 3 times we're overcomers of the world because of their faith. And that faith is of him, from him, and by him. We're operating on the faith of the Son of God. That's what Jesus said. Told and instructed Paul. I don't know how long it took Paul to understand that, but he told us, the life I now live by the faith of the Son of God. And that helps him overcome difficulties. I don't know if any of us could have been an overcomer as Paul was, with all those things that was going on in his life, the shipwreck and everything, but he wasn't operating on his faith, remember. He had the confidence to know and understand that any difficulty he was in, he had the confidence to believe that the faith of God in him, through him, and by him was going to help him be an overcomer to that situation so he could end up bringing glory to him. A lot of people were looking at Paul. Brother Gunner, you reach me that water, please? Thank you, sir. And a lot of people are still looking back at Paul. And God permitted all these things, no doubt, to happen to Paul for his good, for our good. And you might question, why did God allow him to go through all those hardships? For his good, absolutely. Song we just sang, Brother Jason, thank you for that song. We go through these circumstances so he can give us and we glean that we have confidence that he helps us overcome the world and the situations. So first of all, you are committed to Christ, and he gives you confidence. Confidence that his faith is sufficient. Now, the third thing I believe that he teaches the characteristics of a child of God that's born of God is commitment. We've already said that we have to be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, but that commitment has to be to everything in their lives, the commitment to Christ and the commitment to the things that he has told us to do. Because, see, if we're committed to him, then we're good husbands, or we're good wives, or we're faithful children. We're faithful to the office he places us in this world. And I'm enlarging upon it because if you're committed to him, you're really committed to every detail of your life. It's not just, I'm committed to Christ. That's easy to say, and it's easy to do. But then what about the daily things? That shows our commitment, because he has positioned us and placed us in different roles in our life. If you have been given a job, no matter what the job is, you know, is income to support your family, the livelihood, support the church. You've got to be committed to that, because the world would try to get you, discourage you the first morning or evening. You're feeling bad. Don't go into work today. And I don't know how it is today with young people, but back in the old days, you got up in the morning on the farm. You had to do it. I mean, you had the flu. Something had to be done. You couldn't let the cows go without taking care of the cows. Somebody had to do the job. And the commitment was that we have been given the cows, we've been given all these things, and you have to be committed to do what you need to do somehow, some way. And sometimes it takes the faith of God to give you enough strength and enough courage to do it. And the next thing we have to be committed to, and the characteristics of this, remember, is conviction. You got to have some conviction. The conviction that he gives us is, thus saith the word of God. My favorite verse, if I ever get to write down the verse for somebody wants me to sign their Bible, I always use Jude. And the book of Jude teaches that we ought to, every one of us, contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That doesn't change in any situation, because the early disciples contended for the faith that was delivered to them. My job and yours has not changed. 2,000 years have come and gone, but thank God that he gives us convictions to believe that the word of God is true. It doesn't change. They try to change your constitution to fit the times. They try to change the Bible to fit the times. God's word does not change. Convictions to believe that the saints that lived for God back then had the same struggles we do today, essentially. Religion's against them. The world's against them. And Christ is for them. Satan's against them. But they had conviction to have the confidence, to have the assurance, to have the commitment, to know that God has ordained me and called me. Why? Because he let me, he gave me his faith to believe in him. And that's a heart belief, not just a head belief. I was born, God gave me a head belief when I was born. And you've heard about the little boy that had a Christian friend. And as he would go to school, a Christian friend would encourage him about the things of God. He'd go home and try to have a conversation with his father. And his father didn't want any part of it. Now, son, we don't believe in God. We don't believe in that. And on, and he was kind of cordial to the little boy. And finally, you know, the little boy is just so full of hearing and anticipating the joy in his heart that he saw in his friend's heart. He didn't have that joy, but he wanted it. So he talked to Daddy about it. And finally, Daddy said, for the last time, son, I don't want to talk about it. We don't believe in God. The little boy wasn't going to let that go very far. After a while, he said, Daddy, do you think God knows we don't believe in him? Because God already gave him the faith to believe. He just needs somebody to show him the way. So we're born, everyone's born with a childlike, I don't care what mom and daddy says, God has given a child the instinct to believe in his head that there is a God. Parents, school, and all kinds of things tries to change that. But we have to have a confidence that God, in his precious word, will do what he says to do. And the fourth thing we have to do is have some courage. A characteristic of the early Christians, those believers, were courage to stand. Remember what Peter and John that was put in jail because they had been preaching in the synagogue, because they had said, we can't do anything for you, young man, but in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Well, the crowd didn't like that. They had confidence that God told them to do it. They had courage. And now they were taken and they were beaten and they were getting ready to be put to death maybe, but one of the old-timers said, if it's of God, you better leave it alone. Remember a certain particular time in the scriptures where somebody tried to discourage or get rid of somebody? If it's not of God, it won't come to anything anyway. But if it's of God, you better leave it alone. And they somewhat adhered to that principle, and they said, we'll let you go if you won't speak any name in the name of the Lord anymore. And they said, it's quite too late. We've already been instructed. We've already had the convictions. We've already had the commitment. We've got the confidence and we have the courage that he started work within us and he will perform it in the day of the Lord Jesus. And we'll keep on keeping on for the glory of God. Courage. That God said, did we not read three times? He helps us become an overcomer. Overcomer to adversity, overcomer to anything in your way that would hinder you. The characteristics of a believer is courage. Of course, it don't come from us. We're too weak, too frail, too inadequate to do any of those things. But the courage comes from him. Anything worth anything will come from him. And the next thing, the characteristic is consistency. Know where James or where Peter and John was headed that day when they saw the young boy that couldn't walk sitting there, alms, give me some offerings, I need it, such as I have, give I thee. They had conviction that they believed the word of God was true and God had power, and they were just going to exercise the name of Jesus. And they had some consistency about them because every day at the hour of prayer, they were headed to the house of God. Consistency. Twice a day. Daniel had some consistency. Three times a day he prayed. And they tried to keep him from it. There's no keeping Daniel from praying. His God was on the throne. His city was Jerusalem. And he knew that God dwelt in those places, and he wanted to go back home. That's where God had put the stamp of approval. And where God puts the stamp of approval, pretty good place. So he opened the window and prayed as always, consistency, three times a day. And they changed the law that says, I shall not pray. Really? What's that got to do with anything? I've got courage. I've got commitment. I've got some consistency about me. I have some confidence that God's going to hear my prayers, and if he put in my heart to pray, then I'm going to pray. Of course, they put him in the lion's den, but of course, God locked up the jaws of the lions, and of course, next morning he came out, and old King Darius was happy, now made a decree that all the people of the land will worship the God of Daniel. When you stand in the word of God and you're consistent, God will back it up. And God will change circumstances. All we have to do is adhere to the principles and the characteristics he wants us to have from being a believer, one that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the next one is Christ's love. It's an automatic. You don't have to think about it. He that's within you is greater than he that's within the world. The love of Christ constraineth us. It causes us. It compels us. It's just in there. You do it, you love people that don't love you. You don't have to think about it. It just comes out. Consistency in that. People will treat you unkindly. They'll do everything in their power. It doesn't matter. Characteristic of a child of God is the love of Christ. Showing the lost world, no matter what you do to me or no matter what happens, Christ died for me. He has a love for me, and he's placed within my heart a love for him. Therefore, because the love in my heart is for him, it automatically is for you. Christ's love, remember, he came to the world because the world was without God. But the love of God, God's love, was to send his son into the world. And that same love is within you and I. Maybe to a less degree, but at the same time, it doesn't matter what the world says or how the world acts. The love of Christ can strengthen us. And then lastly, I believe within their heart there is cheerfulness. I remember as a young boy growing up, seeing some people, no matter where you saw them, they have the frown on their face. They'd be in church, perhaps, unless the weather was bad. Unless there was, you know, a lot of times they wasn't in church, to tell you the truth. But the cheerful people I found in my life was always there. Sometimes they wasn't feeling so good. Sometimes it might have been a foot of snow on the ground, and we walked to church in those days. But we walked cheerfully, knowing it was a duty to be there, knowing it was something God wanted. Not even knowing all the details, just knowing in my heart that God expected me to put him first in my life. I'd go milk the cows, if it snowed or not. We didn't have a Walmart, but today the reason, one of the reasons I never believe in canceling church, I just don't see Walmart closing. And I worked at GE for a lot of years, and they hardly ever close. And I always figured, well, if I really want to show the world and God, if I go to work in this kind of weather, I think I will go to the house of God. I'm not advocating you do if you're going to fall down and get hurt and all that stuff. I'm talking about able-bodied minded, that when you start to slide, you can catch. And as you get a little older, that's a little tougher, I understand. You start to slide and you can't catch yourself and you're laying on the ground. So I'm not advocating people get out in danger and endanger their health. But I'm just saying, if you're able by it, and if that same situation, you go to the job on Monday morning, and if you go to Walmart or somewhere else, then I would surely want to go to the house of God first. That just makes me a cheerful giver and a cheerful person that wants to serve God rather than man. I guess I could sum it up by saying, just put God first in your life. Let's read it again. For whosoever, that's all of us, that's me, that's you, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. Could you put it any plainer than that? He didn't say, you might be able to, and you might not. Well, circumstances might hinder you. He said, everyone that's born of God, the overcomer of the world, inclusive everything in the world. Everything in the world, you're an overcomer. There's a characteristic God has bestowed upon you. And you can't take that lightly. And don't disregard it. And don't trample it underfoot, because along with this is the ability to have these other characteristics. An overcomer is someone that's not a loser, it's a winner. You know what the Bible says in Romans? From victory to victory. Nowhere does he say defeat. The early disciples had these characteristics. God hasn't changed, and we should not have changed. Of course, we're not the prayer warriors we ought to be. We're not the studious persons we ought to be, but we are overcomers, so we ought to be more than we are. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even their faith. How do we have all these things? Faith, his faith. Faith to give you courage, faith to give you confidence, faith to give you... We're operating off of him. He's big enough to handle it. My little old faith, weak. And when things discourage me, I'm like you, no doubt. You get a little discouraged and things go sour, nobody cares. But we're not operating like that. He said, we're overcomers. For whosoever is born of God, overcomes the world. I wish you'd just repeat that. Maybe make a little note and put it on the refrigerator. You might even scratch it, whosoever, and put your name there. I am an overcomer of the world. And this is the victory. You see, the reason you have all these characteristics is because of the victory he gives you by enabling you to overcome the world, even their faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? It's so simple. The worldly people can't overcome the world. They're a part of the world. If you're not committed to Christ, you can't overcome the world. Every little obstacle is going to get you down one way or the other. And God allows and promotes and even instructs and gives us and leads us right into these situations sometimes to show us, thank you for the song, brother, to show us that, dear, through it all, through everything God sends your way, don't give the devil credit for everything. God orchestrates. Either God's in control of everything or he's not in control of anything. He won't take second place. God allows, permits, orchestrates. And it's for my good and your good to teach us and enable us that we are overcomers. The disciples on the Sea of Galilee during the storm, Jesus sent it. He was on the mountain and sent them into a storm directly, purposely to show them that I'm near. As he was walking on the water, the disciples saw him and thought it was a ghost or something. But when they recognized him, the first thing they did was invite him on board their ship. You know what the scripture says? Of course you do. If he was not invited on board the ship by them, he was a pass on by. How many times has God sent you and me into a storm? He was right there. And we were so busy fussing and carrying on and not being consistent, not being committed. Rather than call on him and asking him, we just got bitter and puffy and all that. You know what he did, don't you? Passed on by. But the problem is the next storm may be bigger. He will finally get us to the place of recognizing that the storm is perhaps of him, for the good of us, because we already know that we're overcomers. That's a given. No matter what the situation, we are overcomers. And overcomers have these characteristics. Would you stand in that? Your head's bowed. Altar's open. Miss, if you'll come sing a song of invitation, whatever God puts on your heart. Bring the rest of them if you want to. Altar's open. You might say, I don't have those characteristics. You have to some degree. You may not be putting them to much use. But you see, this is inclusive. He didn't say some of you. He said whosoever. If you're a Christian and you're born of God, these are the characteristics. No shortcomings. Are you standing up to what God has entitled you to be? The world's watching. Remember, this is the victory. The victory you have in the world is determined by the fact of how much we're committed and how much we're conformed to the image of Christ. Or else we're in defeat all the time. There's no use being in defeat. Oh, but you don't know what I'm going through, but I don't need to know. Because he does. And perhaps he let us go through that to show us that we're overcomers. Altar's open, your head's bowed.
I've not always been faithful, but he has. I've not always been graceful, but he's always come through. He passed again. He passed. Yes, he passed. And he has been the greatest friend that I have ever known. And he has paid the debt on Calvary.
All about Him and our commitment to Him. He wants to use you and He wants to use me to be overcomers. We already are. We need to act like it. Appreciate the goodness of God allowing us to hear from Him tonight in His precious word. Everyone done what God told you to do? Remember, we're committed to Him. It's His service. We belong to Him. Are you listening? Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. Brother Roger, come up here, please, and pray with us and for us. Pray for our nation. Brother Roger's a veteran, like many of you. And many of them are suffering. Some of the Agent Orange and other traumas they suffered in the military, they're suffering and will physically for a long time. And yet they serve their nation. Let's pray for them. Pray for those over there now, even in America. Thank God that we have a nation that still honors them. And I believe our God in heaven honors them. Why? Because we're supposed to be America, home of the brave and land of free, and trust in the Lord our God. Of course, our nation may not. Let's trust God that He'll help us to restore that.
Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to You tonight, Father. Lord, we want to stop right now, God, and thank You, Lord, for the blessing You bestowed upon us, God. Lord, we want to thank You, God, for the blessing You bestowed upon this nation, God, but we've turned her back. We're so indifferent, Father. But, God, we thank You for the old, wretched souls, Lord, that still pray and call out Your name, God, as You touch this nation, God. Lord, for the leaders, Father, this nation, God. Lord, the ones that's over the pond fighting, God, we pray, Lord, You touch them, God. And, Lord, we realize, Father, their families are suffering too, God. Lord, we've been there and we understand it, God, and we thank You, Father, for it. Lord, we pray, Lord, that You touch them, guide them, Lord, and put Your guiding hand on them, Father. We understand, God. Lord, I was in a foreign land, God, lost, Father, but You seen fit through Your marvelous grace for me to come home, Father. God, and I thank You, Lord. I could never thank You enough, God, for what You've given us, Lord. Father, for this church, God, and what it means to us, Lord, and each and every member's gathered together here tonight, Father. Lord, that You'd anoint them, God, and we understand, Father. From the depth of their heart, Father, there's so many here that's hurting, Lord, physically, God. Lord, that You'd touch them, God, and Lord, pray, Lord, that You'd guide, direct, and way You'd have us to go, Father. Lord, for the pastors of this church, God, that leads us and directs us, Father, but most of all, Your precious Holy Spirit, Lord, as long as we hold on to You, God, we all know where we're going, Father. Forgive us, Lord, we're so unworthy, God, but with Your precious, precious touch, You touched our hearts, Father. Lord, lead, God, direct us this week, Father. Lord, their lights may shine, Father, someone see Christ in us, God. Lord, when we leave here, Father, we may realize, Father, out there, it's as important as it is here, God, to live a life that's pleasing to You, Father. Lord, let everything we do to uplift Your precious name. God, and we'll never fail to give You the praise and glory for all this. In Jesus' holy and humble name we beg, God. Amen.